So first I will introduce the toroidal algebras, and then I will get some information on the irreducible models for toroidal algebras. Okay. Fix a positive integer n. Let a equals b Laurent polynomial ring in n commuting variables. Okay. Now m bar equals m 1 m n belongs to Zn, and T m bar equals belongs to A. Okay. Now let omega A be a vector space spanned by vector space with basis that is this set, this is capital I m bar in Zn 1 less than or equal to I less than or equal to n. See, this is only a symbol, it has no other meaning. T power m, T m bar k is one symbol. For every m bar and for every I am taking one symbol, I am taking a vector space with this basis. So let dA be the subspace of omega A spanned by these vectors. I'm just taking a vector subspace of this, and my interest is omega by dA. I will come to this in a minute. Now I will define toroidal algebras. So let G, all my algebras are over complex numbers. Let G be simple finite dimensional Lie algebra over complex numbers. Let B a non-degenerate symmetric bilinear form on G. Now I will define a toroidal algebra for you. This is G tensor A plus omega A by dA. I will add derivations later. First let us define this. Now this is defined as equals xy plus the bilinear form dt power m bar t power n bar, where dt power m bar t power n bar is defined as sigma mi which is an element of t to the element of omega by dA, and omega A by dA is central. That is one such algebra. Now I want to extend it a little bit further. Tau delta equals tau plus D, where D equals this symbol. I use it for linear span. This symbol always means linear span. So I take a linear span and I define, I already defined bracket here, so I have to define the bracket and also on the center. And the bracket between them is 0. Okay, so I really don't make the distinction, you know. I will specify tau and tau bar whenever I need it, but toroidal means, you know, one of them. I don't make any, you know, specific choice. Okay, the first non-trivial result we have is due to Morita and Yoshi. That is, tau is the universal central extension of G tends J. So it's a universal central extension of the base Lie algebra G tends J. Okay. What is that? It's one forms by closed forms. Well, I mean, I don't know. Generally, we call it closed forms. But I see, I'm not, you know, I'm not interested in that kind of, you know, interpretation. For me, it's just a vector space with this basis and with this quotient. But we call it closed forms. Closed forms. I don't know what it means, you know. I don't know, see, I'm not interested in, you know, in that language, you see. So this, for me, I have defined explicitly without any, you know, there is no confusion here. Let us see what it means for n is equal to 1. So suppose your n is equal to 1, then the relation says is 0. That's the relation. If you look at the DA, it's defined like that, which means, so if R1 is different than 0, this implies that T power R1 K1 is 0. So almost everything is 0 except the 0th one. So this means omega A by DA is just one single element, and the cocycle, whatever, I mean the extended part, if you write it as, so if you look at this, it will come down to exactly the cocycle. One second, there is the n here. This will come down to K1. So it's a true generalization of an affine Lie algebra, a true and a direct generalization of an affine Lie algebra. And we can, one can compute the dimensions. For example, dimension of omega A by DA at M bar is equal to this dimension is n minus 1 if M bar is different from 0 and equals n if M bar is equal to 0. That's also clear because the way we defend is only one single relation, so that the dimension drops by 1, and when M is 0 there is no relation, so it's n. In particular, so for n greater than or equal to 2, this space is infinite dimensional. So we are dealing with infinite dimensional central extensions. Okay. So let me define a few things like Cardan subalgebras. Okay. So fix. Fix a cordon subalgebra H of G. Now I will define another cordon subalgebra which is H and the 0 degree center. See, this is the 0 degree center and the day. Okay, this is my cordon. Of course, you know, most likely, you know, one, you know, if you take any other other cordon, it could be as well conjugate. I don't think there is much choice, but I don't know the answer. So this is my cordon. I am fixing this cordon, and now a weight module. This is something you all know. Weight module. That is a module, you know, for tau tilde. So it should look like this. Where V lambda equals set of all V in V, such that HV is equal to lambda H V for all H in H tilde. So that's called weight module. And throughout the lecture, this is for tau. I'm interested in tau tilde. So my interest is to understand irreducible modules for tau tilde with finite dimensional weight spaces. So what I do is we fix an irreducible tau tilde module with finite dimensional weight spaces. I fix once for all an irreducible tau tilde module with finite dimensional weight spaces. Okay. So a few definitions. Definition. Okay, an operator. Actually, what I mean is an operator I wrote, but it's linear transformation. Z from V to V is called central operator of degree m bar if your Z should commute with tau. You know, the tau without derivations and with derivations, should be equal to mi z. See, because I have to put it in quotation mark because it's not a genuine center. You see, it doesn't commit the whole Lie algebra. It only commits to the base Lie algebra, and it has a certain degree. Examples, obvious examples. T power m bar ki is a central operator of degree m bar. Clear? That's the way it is defined. And if I take product, it is a central operator of degree m bar plus n bar. Okay. So I define central operators. Now one lemma, suppose Z is a central operator of degree m bar, and suppose ZB is different from 0 for some V. In V, then ZW is different from 0 for all W in V. If it is 0, if it is non-zero at one place, it remains non-zero at every place. For that, you consider W set of all V such that ZB is equal to 0. One can check that it's a submodule, a tau tilde module, and it's proper because there is a non-zero. It's proper. So W is a proper submodule of V, but V is irreducible, so W has to be equal to V. That means there are no zeros, it doesn't vanish anywhere. Now second lemma, so I can say Z non-zero, right, which means it is non-zero everywhere. Now ZB is equal to V, again this is a submodule and a non-zero submodule, so it has to be the whole thing, so it is equal to this. Now I will consider inverses. If there is a non-zero central operator, it is an inverse. Don't need to rub this for the time being. So lemma, suppose that is different from 0, central operator of degree m bar, then there exists a central operator T of degree minus m bar such that Tz is equal to Zt is equal to identity. There is an inverse. So let us see. So suppose V in V, then by that lemma there exists a W and unique such that Zw is equal to V. So you define Tv to be W, okay, and see that it is central actually. For that you consider, okay, let me just check my notes. So Zw equals x, this commutes, right, it commutes with this Zw, but Zw is equal to V, so that is extensor T 4 m V, okay. So which means something Zw is equal to V, I don't know, yeah, one second, let me check my notes. Yeah, so Z of this is equal to this, which means T of this is equal to that. T of extensor T 4 m V equals extensor T 4 m W, which is extensor T 4 m T V. See, you could see that T commutes with this, T goes inside, which means T is central. Once it commutes with the generators, it commutes the whole Lie algebra, so it becomes central. So it has an inverse. Okay. Now I want to define some set. Let me make a few remarks. First remark is any 0 degree central operator is scalar. So any 0 degree central operator is scalar because it commutes with it. If it is 0 degree, means it commutes the whole Lie algebra, in particular it commutes with Cartan, which means it leaves each weight space invariant. Once it has a finite dimensional invariant space, it has an eigenvector. That means there is at least one vector where it acts with scalar, but being irreducible, it acts everywhere with the same scalar. So any 0 degree central operator is scalar. Second one is, suppose S and T non-zero central of same degree of degree m bar, then S is equal to lambda T for some lambda in C, because you can consider the inverses. Look at any S inverse T. S inverse T is of degree 0, so it has to be a scalar. which implies T is equal to S lambda, whatever, you know. So two central operators of the same degree are necessarily differ by a scalar. So each homogeneous component is actually one dimensional. So it's very close to being a quantum torus. But that we will not worry right now. Okay. Now we want to define. Okay. Let me just. Next step is GLNZ. You all know what is GLNZ. It is n by n matrices with integral weights whose determinant is plus or minus 1. Acts as automorphisms on tau tilde. That is how it is. So you take a B, first of all, GLNZ acts on Zn, obviously, and that action I will denote it by Bm bar. Now, if I take an element, I will simply define extensor T power Bm bar, and on the center, actually this will force the action on the center. So on the center, this looks like a center, which is simply and in particular, if you look at Ki, this goes to sigma Bij Ki Bij T power m bar Kj. That's how it acts. This central element will go to that central element, and if you look at the zeros, these zero ones, they will go to the natural ones, you know. You just take, you consider this as a column and apply B, and what you get. So K1, K2, Kn goes there. Okay. And I still have to define DIs. And the DIs, you take B transpose inverse at D1, Dn. So this is the, these are the D1 new elements, you know. You send di to di prime. So I take the old d1s and apply B transpose inverse, and I get new ds and send di to di prime. One can check that it's an automorphism. Okay. Yes. Here. Here, yeah, B is there, yeah, sorry, B is there, yeah, okay, So automorphisms are very useful because you can always twist it by an automorphism. So for example, you have an automorphism like this and you have a module. Okay. So you can twist it. You know, you can define a new representation such that X acts as BX. So you get a new representation, but you know they are very close, even though they may not be isomorphic, but if you understand one module, you can understand the other module. So what I do is I twist the model suitably so that I get some very clear information. Okay, let me define one group. Yes, you consider all those m bars and minus m bars such that T4 Ki is non-zero for some I. Okay, so it's closed under inverses, you know. I'm taking m bar as well as inverses, and let gamma be a subgroup of Zn generated by S. And let me write K. This is the most important ingredient for me. the rank of gamma. So I'm going to get information on the rank. What possible values k can take? Could it be 0, could it be 1, could it be 2? What are all possible values k can take? Okay. So now I have to recall a very standard theorem on subgroups of Zn. Okay. So now there is a theorem called standard basis theorem. Some of you are, most of you must may be knowing it by standard basis theorem. There exists a Z basis m bar 1 m bar n of Zn such that k1 m bar 1 k I will write k, this there are k of them, m bar k is a Z basis of gamma. See, this is what is called standard basis theorem. You always find a basis for Zn such that this is a basis for here. But remember, this being a Z basis, you can find, so let Ei equals 1, 0 be a basis of Zn. You see, both are Z bases, so there exists a B in GL and Z such that B m bar I is equal to Ei, which means B Ki m bar I equals Ki 0, and this I runs only up to k. So this is what, so I will try to translate this in the language of representations. Okay, so I have one proposition here. So this is, I will write, okay, I will write here. Okay, so proposition is up to a twist of automorphism there exist central operators Z1 Zk of degree 1 k1 0 0 0 0 kk 0 0. That's what happens, right? And to twist it, you get central operators like this, which are non-zero. There exist non-zero central operators, so they all have inverses. That's the first one. The second one is, that's the first one. Second one is, this is all up to twist. The second one is, let us say dk is equal to dk plus 1 dn. So I'm just taking only few derivations, I'm not taking all the derivations. Okay, now let w equals v minus ziv v in v 1 less than or equal to I less than or equal to k. See, this can be checked. See, the module is irreducible, so it will never have submodules, but this is a module for tau and dk. So the only problem is the other derivations don't act. See, these are all, you know, non-weight vectors, so other derivations don't act, but you still have a module for this. Not only that, V by W has finite dimensional weight spaces, for the cation HK, which is truncated. I am reviewing a few derivations. So it is still the quotient of the weight space is finite dimensional. Okay. Now that is 2, 3 is suppose t power m bar k I is t power m bar k I is non-zero on V. I mean we have already have a module non-zero means on V. Then your I has to be greater than k plus 1 and for m bar all these things have to be 0. So the center is like that, it can't be some arbitrary center. The non-zero central operators, the non-zero central operators has to have this form. And further, your k is less than n. See, k less than n can be seen from here, because if k is equal to n, your I has to be bigger than n plus 1 and there are no such indices, so whole center will be 0. But k is equal to n means there is a non-zero center, that is a contradiction. So from 3, 4 certainly follows, but to see 3, you have to go for 2. See, this is an old proposition of mine which I presented in this particular room 3 years back, but at that time I did it only for integral models, but now I extend it for any irreducible model. So the theorem that I want to really present now is the following. So we have an irreducible model. We have an irreducible model for tau delta on n dimensional weight spaces. That we have. Okay. Now suppose omega A by dA is non-zero on V, then your K has to be n minus 1. It has no other choice. There is only one choice for K. This means what? There is at least one element which is non-zero. Then your K has to be n minus 1. So you cannot really play with your center. Center has to have some specific form. You can't just quotient out any center and ask for a model. You won't get one. Okay. Now, for example, suppose k is 0. So this implies what? Omega A by dA is 0. Right? Suppose k is 0 means what? All the non-zero degree central operators are 0. That's by definition. But from this theorem, this has to be 0. So when k is 0, this has to be 0. And the proof, you know, the proof runs in such a way that I prove this statement first and then deduce this statement. Okay? So let me just indicate some aspects of the proof. This theorem I need the whole thing. Okay. Right. Now, let H be finite dimensional vector space. Okay. Let B non-degenerate symmetric bilinear form. Bilinear form. Now consider an interesting algebra H delta, I will call. That is, you take H bar, H tensor C T1 plus or minus 1, T2 plus or minus 1. I am taking two variables and I am taking an extension for this. I am also taking derivations. And you know how to define, it's easy to understand. So let me say H1 T1 R1 T2 R2 H2 T1 S1 T2 S2 equals the inner product delta, I will write simply R, R1 K1 plus R2 K2. And you know the derivations are degree, you know, they measure the degree, that is easy to write down. Now this is an interesting algebra. This also I call Heisenberg, but this is two variables. Of course you can also take infinite center, you know, there is an infinite center case also. We don't want it, we only take the finite center. Now the lemma says there does not exist modules. The Cartan, you know, the Cartan is now clear. The Cartan is what? K1, K2, T1, D2. That is the Cartan. So there does not exist modules for H bar with finite dimensional H spaces. No module at all, you know, I am not saying irreducible, no modules. There does not exist module for H bar with finite dimensional weight spaces and non-zero central action. Hello, hello, one second. H tends to 0. Right, right, that's right. But isn't it central? I think it is central, right? Yeah. It is central. So okay, Cartan, I missed that point. It includes H also. Okay. But I think it is central. I mean, it's generally, you know, people ignore that H0 part. That is when you define Heisenberg, you know. But anyway, I missed that point, but you see. So what I'm saying is that there does not exist modules for H bar with finite dimensional weight spaces and non-zero central action. If you want a non-zero central action and finite dimensional weight space, modules don't exist. Okay. Now this is a very interesting corollary. So let me define an interesting algebra I will call tau bar, that is G tensor A and a finite center and the derivations. See, this algebra here, which is here, is contained here. Now the corollary is there does not exist. See, n is greater than or equal to 2 always. I am fixing n greater than or equal to 2. There does not exist tau bar modules with finite dimensional weight spaces and non-zero central action. See, this Lie algebra looks more natural than toroidal algebra, because for toroidal you have infinite center, but here you see you have finite center. See, the affine case has one dimensional center, this has n dimensional center. So some people thought that why worry about infinite dimensional center, let us fix this Lie algebra first, let us see whether this has an interesting module. Of course white space will be finite dimensional, because then only you can talk of characters. And you want center non-zero, you see, generally we are not really interested in center zero case. So there are a couple of papers, but most they get into module, they get into weight spaces that are infinite dimensional. See, both there are papers by Berman and Cox, there are a couple of papers by Futoni, but both say that their modules are infinite weight spaces. But the fact is that this Lie algebra has no modules, finite weight spaces with non-zero central action. It doesn't have at all. Okay, now let us look at the proof. I will indicate this theorem. N greater than or equal to, let me see, Yeah, I am only interested in n greater than or equal to 2 everywhere, you know. Always n greater than or equal to 2. But is it false when n is equal to 1? It is false. Yeah. So n is at least 2 for me all the time. I am not making any statement on the finite dimension and the affine case. You know, I have no results to say about the affine case. My situation is always n less at least 2. Now let us see the proof. I will just indicate a part of it. So the only if this is not the case, but anyhow k is less than n, we have seen. So suppose k is less than n minus 1, which means k plus 1 and k plus 2 are less than or equal to n. Now if you look at h1 t1 tk plus 1 r1 tk plus 2 r2 h2 tk plus 1 s1 tk plus 2 s2, and if you compute this, see what you will get is exactly the one we have. See, that is because of something here, you see. If the center is non-zero, then your indices up to this spot has to be 0. But you see, the indices are only from here. So they cannot appear except their sum is 0. So this is what will happen. See, if you look at the general definition, you have an infinite center here. But because of this 3, you will get that. So there is no module for this, which means k can't be n minus 1. So k cannot be less than n minus 1. But there is one small problem. See, it can so happen that this element here is 0 and this element could be 0. So that's one case I couldn't, you know, I'm not very sure whether this will really happen or not. See, all the 0 degree central operators could be 0 and there will be other non-zero central operators. That is something I couldn't settle. But you see, if both are 0 also, one can prove it by going to a quotient. If you remember, I went to a quotient here. Look at W. By going to a quotient, one can prove that one can get a contradiction. Okay, that is done. Okay. No module at all. Arbitrary. Any module with finite weight spaces with non-zero center. Because it contains Heisenberg. In Heisenberg there are no modules. The two variable Heisenberg, it contains the two variable Heisenberg. So by restricting you will get a module for Heisenberg which doesn't exist. Okay. So let me indicate a few more things. Let me rewrite 3 now. Now that we know your k is equal to n minus 1, which means t power m k I is different than 0, which means I has to be n minus n, right? Your k has to be bigger than, your I has to be bigger than k plus 1, which is n, and your m has to be 0. So these are the ingredients we have. Now let me define gf to be g tensor c tn plus or minus 1. And the center, I will only take this, I don't want the derivation. Now look at the natural algebra an minus 1, where an minus 1 equals up to n minus 1. See, the g tensor a sits inside, you know, g tensor a sits inside, but one, in any case what I want is, I want to give a map from here to here. I will write down. So for m bar in Zn, let me say m bar is equal to n minus 1. Now send extensor t power m bar to extensor tn mn tensor t m bar. See, this is like an identity map, believe me. It's just an identity map, you see. I'm just reindexing it, but it's like an identity map. So the problem comes with the center. So let us take t power m ki. Where does this send? I will send it to 0 if 1 less than equal to I less than equal to n minus 1, and I will also send it to 0 if I is equal to n, but mn, the nth component, is non-zero. Otherwise I will send it to kn tensor t power m bar. See, what I am doing is I have a toroidal algebra. I am just quotienting out some center which I don't want. I am just quotienting out some center. I am quotienting out the center in such a way that the kernel of this map is trivial on the module. See, if you look at the kernel, that is precisely the zeros here. So the kernel is trivial on the module. So let me write down that. So let me give a map, a phi. So note that kernel phi is 0 on B, okay, which means, what does it mean? It means you have a module for GF. I didn't say one thing, the D goes to D. In this you send D to D, send it as identity. So GF tensor AN minus 1, GF tensor AN minus 1 and D. So it's a module for this. So that's the first thing. So this, the whole thing is, you know, one reduction is this. One can do, you see, in spite of all this, there is still an infinite center sitting here, and that infinite center acts by invertible operators. So let us go down a little bit. You remember there is a W, set of all V minus ZIV, 1 less than or equal to I less than or equal to N minus 1. And you can go down by this. So V by W now becomes a nice module, that is nice in the sense for finite dimensional weight spaces. For what? For GF tensor AN minus 1. And the last derivation, only one derivation will survive. Now here I want to make one point. See, I still have an infinite center here, and I am claiming that the infinite center acts by a constant, by scalars. See, on V they don't act by scalars, they act by invertible linear transformations, but on the quotient they act by scalars. For that, what you do is, suppose t power m ki is non-zero, then your m bar is in the group. I defined one group, and the group has this, you know, the m bar will be equal to some numbers li, and it will look like, because these are the bases, you see, this is the basis, and every m bar when it's non-zero looks like this, which means if you look at Zn L1, Zn n minus 1 L minus n minus 1, this is a central operator of degree m bar, and I have taken a central operator of degree m bar, but you know, two central operators of the same degree differ by a scalar. But this, if you look at the module in the quotient, all these things act by 1. So this act by 1, and therefore t 4 m bar k acts by 1 by scalar. So I started with an irreducible module, and I produced a certain module where the central operators act by scalars. Okay, I will conclude soon. I will try to conclude it. I mean, see, one would, I would like to note that most of the stuff is, you know, relatively easy, and not much effort as is needed. The whatever I am saying is relatively easy. I mean, it comes without much difficulty. Now what I am going to say now is a little more delicate. The first thing is, V by W need not be irreducible for GF tensor AN minus 1 and the derivation. I can only say need not be, I don't know for sure, but most likely it's not. I have lots of examples, but I never bother to check. I will do it soon. But nevertheless, It has an irreducible quotient. Irreducible quotient. This is non-trivial. You know, even it looks very natural, but to prove that it has a quotient, irreducible quotient, is non-trivial. Okay, that's the first thing. Of course, the central operators act as scalars here also. Now, the main question is, can we go back? Can we recover our V? We have an irreducible model for that Lie algebra. Can we recover back? So let us see. Let us see. You take this space. So this is what. Okay. This is what is called grading. This is coming in several places in Gower's work, even in quantum groups. Even I did it long back. So there is a way of giving a model structure. This becomes a model for tau bar, tau delta. That's the point. How do I do that? Extensor tau m bar. So I take x in gf and apply on v tensor t n bar. That's equal to extensor t power m bar v. That's the old action, because v bar is a module for gf tensor a n minus old action, and sum of these powers, and that becomes a module. And you can easily, you know, make da act. Let us say ni and d1 and dn. This is 1 less than or equal to I less than or equal to n minus 1, and dn acts on v, because that's a module. So one can check that this is actually a module for tau delta. I mean, this is a module for, this is a module for what? This is a module for this. Not only this, even more. It's a module for gf an minus 1 an minus 1 and d. But see, there's a quotient map. So you lift the module action under this quotient. So you get a module for this space. Okay. Okay. Now there's one problem here. The module we got need not become irreducible. Okay. Okay. So the module need not be irreducible. I will simply write need not be. In fact, it is not. Most of, I mean, in some cases, it's not. Need not be irreducible as tau delta module. But we are not in a very bad shape. Completely reducible. This is also very delicately done. Completely reducible. It's a completely reducible model. But even though it's not irreducible, it's completely reducible model. But see, further, all components are isomorphic up to a grade shift. You know, in these loop models, you can always shift the gradation. Your D is not really fixed. You can always change your gradation. So all components are isomorphic of the grade shift, and one of them is equal to your V bar, your V. One of the components is your V. So you get back your module. So the study of irreducible modules for the tau bar with finite dimensional weight spaces is nothing but study of modules for this algebra, where the central operators act by scalars. It's a familiar ground. I just want to end this talk by one remark. See, I am from Bombay and far away from the Western society. So I rarely get a chance to talk to people, interact with the international community. So in that way, this trip is very nice. I'm very glad I'm here, could able to talk to people. So I would like to record my sincere thanks to the organizers. That's all.